God, and he created each of us differently and uniquely, and we may be similar in some ways, but we are definitely all unique to what God created. And when he created us from the very beginning and those cells started coming together, he knew then what kind of gifts he was going to give you. Now, I don't want to get confused with the fruit of the Spirit. You know those fruits: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, self-control. I always like to tell my kids about self-control because they say they didn't have any, and I'd remind them God gave it to them as a gift. Faithfulness, gentleness. See, those are all not the same that we're going to talk about tonight. Those are gifts, but those are moral virtue gifts. But see, the things that we're going to talk about tonight are the human talents that God gave us, the discovering your gifts. But see, this isn't about the human talent. Now, you may have a talent to do something, that, and God may have given you that. Rose has a talent to sing. I have a talent to go run the board when Delana's not there, because, like, I do not have the talent to sing. I can sing with the kids and make a joyful noise, but that is not my talent. We all have different talents, and that is one thing that she does well, but it's different when God gets behind that talent and turns it into a spiritual gift. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, those spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are powered by God. They're not powered by your humanness. They're not powered by your practice. They're not, and God does want you to practice and learn, but they're not powered by that. The Rose's singing can be fine and we can all enjoy it, but then the anointing falls and people start change, their hearts change and their faith changes, and then they begin to see God differently. When God takes your talent and turns it into a spiritual gift, it's always going to point us back toward God. Always. If your spiritual gift is not focused around God, it's probably not a spiritual gift. See, in 1 Peter 4:10, don't worry, Delana, it's not on there. I'm just going to talk about it. It says that God's gifts, he has given us gifts to be used in the service of others. See, that's the difference between just having a talent and a spiritual gift. The spiritual gift is never aimed at something for your benefit. It's never aimed at something just for you. It's always aimed at the bigger family of God, the bigger creation. If we use our spiritual gifts in the faith family, we are stronger together and can do more things for us. No, we're not doing more things for us. We're doing more things for God. We still have empty seats in this church. I still think there's more people to come in to be taught. I still think there's more people to come in and to worship with us. But those are things that we have to use our spiritual gifts to attain. It helps us to get the goal. Delina, we're going to start going through those slides, please, because I forgot my Bible. You also don't have your Bible on the screen, and you're going to have to look it up. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not thinking of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Notice it didn't say to some of you. It says to each of you. So you can't blame this on somebody else. You can't sit back and say, God didn't give me nothing. If you don't have a talent that you can identify, you're not looking for it. And that's one of the reasons we're talking about this. So you can identify what he's using. See, I lost my place scolding you. I shouldn't have scolded you. As God dealt to each one of you a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. I'm going to stop right here for just a second. Why do we not have the same function? Because we would be very poor in our strength if we were all strong in the same area. We would have weaknesses everywhere else. He wants us all to have a different strength so we can be all around strong. But all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, there you go. He who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now listen, that's a whole mouthful of gifts right there. But we're not going to stop there because, see, Paul, we're going to flip over to a grid, and I hope we can see it because I had to make it small. Nope, can't see it. So all of those are listed, and this is the first scripture. So if you can read that, you have very exceptional eyesight. I was not gifted that. I have contacts and readers for a reason. But it lists those same ones that we just talked about. We're going to go back and talk about each of them individually, but we're going to move on to another set of scriptures first. These are all four of these scriptures that I'm going to read tonight are from Paul. Paul wrote them. And when Paul wrote these, he was always an encourager of the church. He was always an encourager of the body of Christ. So this is what he was doing in each of these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4 says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." See, this goes back to pointing out, this isn't for you. This isn't for one person. This is for everybody. "For the one who has given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Now, I've gave you a lot of information already, so let's go back and recap. In the first set of scriptures, we talked about the spiritual gifts being prophecy, teaching, serving, exhortation, giving aid, compassion. Sound familiar? You know some of those people? Maybe you are some of those people. So the second set, listen up, is prophecy, healing, working miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, wisdom, knowledge, faith, and discernment. What carried over from the first one? Prophecy. Kind of cool. All right, moving down to 1 Corinthians 12:28. Actually, I'm going to read 27 too, if you don't mind, Delana. I'm going to read 27:28. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." I don't want you to lose the fact that we're not just lumping you in and saying you're just special in this group. You are special and gifted as an individual no matter where you are. You are the body of Christ and members individually. "And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, and a variety of tongues." So here we are. We've said it again. There's prophecy and teaching. We've repeated those twice, teaching twice and prophecy three times. Healing we've repeated twice. Working of miracles, tongues and interpretation we all repeated twice. But he's added apostleship, help, and administration. These repeats are especially important when we continue to work even in today's world. We're going to do one more set of scriptures, one more scripture in Ephesians. All these were by Paul, in case you were wondering. He wrote all of these books. Ephesians 4:11. "And he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and some teachers." So here we are. We've had prophecy four times, teaching three times. Apostleship is now in the twice category, and we've added evangelists and shepherding. Now think about it. Where was Paul during these writings? Some of his most harsh ministry was when he was writing these stories. Listen, he knew that God was big and it was his goal to tell as many people as possible. And not only that, he knew that he couldn't reach everybody, so he wanted to teach other Christians how to be strong and share the word. When God gave him this list of spiritual gifts, oh look, I put it in bold and you can see it. What about that? It's amazing. When God gave him these lists of spiritual gifts and asked him to teach in four different places about it, he was not teaching for himself. He was not looking to strengthen his area of influence. He was looking for other ways to make sure our faith family, our Christians from way back in the day, were still carrying the message. Why are these gifts important? Because other people wouldn't know about God without them. Other people's lives would not be changed without them. Now I'm going to flip the script on you. I want you to take just a second and think about what gifts in your life changed you. I was just a Baptist bus kid, but it was a teacher with the teaching gift that changed me. I had a wonderful Baptist preacher that had the shepherding spirit that changed me. And that began something growing in me. It was a love of God and a love of God's stuff and a love of God's people and a love of God's jobs and a love of sharing God with other people. Go ahead and flip, Delana. We're going to start looking at these. That's funny. I fixed that twice and that N is still down there by itself. We're going to go with it tonight. Here, this is proof that you cannot be perfect and still be God, still be godly. This gift of administration, it's a gift that of order. It takes things and it enables that person to give guidance to people. And I think about this when we do VBS. If we don't have an administrator of VBS, we have chaos. So that administration gift is someone who looks at the group of the family of God, and they say, I see this in you, and I see this gift in you, and I see how we can all come together and make a team and accomplish something. And so what we do is we all come together for VBS. We all take our sections. I was a teacher. There was a crafts. There was somebody feeding us. And we all make an experience that changes the life of a child and plants a seed of faith that grows up to be a faithful Christian that meets God. See, that gift of administration is sometimes quiet in the back. It's the part where they're doing things that nobody else sees. But administration keeps everybody going forward in an orderly fashion. We need administrators in their gifts. Yes. All right, next one. There's 20 of these, so we got to hurry. Apostleship. If I only give 1 minute, that's 20 minutes, and then I'm doing the math, and I'm in a hurry. Apostleship, the ability to communicate the Christian message across cultural barriers. And sometimes this is the logistics too. Like, so I'm probably never going to be an apostle. Just saying. I don't know how to speak Spanish. I get paranoid if I'm in the Chinese restaurant and they're talking around me in Chinese and I think they're talking about me. I'm probably never going to be comfortable in this, but there are others in our family who aren't bothered by it. These apostles are the church planters, the ones we send out to go places to tell people about God. I will happily support somebody in apostleship. It's not my gift, okay? It's just not. Next. Compassion. These people who have this spiritual gift have a way to make you feel seen and heard when your world may feel chaotic. They have a deeper understanding of human emotions than anybody else. It enables them to see those emotions, and it provides support in a way that nobody else can. And I'm not talking about, oh, I feel sorry for you. I'm talking about the people who love you, pray for you, hug you in a way that nobody else can hug you. Those are compassionate, spiritual, gifted people. Next. The discernment. This is the one that everybody gets paranoid about. It's the ability to determine if something is divine, human, or satanic. It's something they heard, seen, maybe they saw in action. This discernment spirit, those people make you nervous because you're trying to hide something and they know it. I try to hide things and it just, I tell them myself all the time. There are spiritual discerners in this church. They have nailed me before. It just happens. And usually they can identify a root of something to help you get past that. It's never about picking on you. If somebody is picking on you and you feel like you've been harmed or hurt, that is probably not a spiritual gift. That is just somebody full of themselves. It is fine to call those people out. But a spiritual discerning gift will always encourage you, will always it may call out whatever the problem or the issue is, but it will always point you back to Jesus and point you back to God to fix that problem. A true spiritually gifted discerner will not harm you. They will only help you. Next. Evangelism. Those are the people who have that ability to take the unconverted person from just somebody that sits in the pew or somebody you see at McDonald's or somebody you pass in Kroger and turn them into a follower of Christ. We have some of those people in here, and like pastor, we'll talk to people everywhere, but I can tell you that I have one friend, his name was Robert, he's dead now. He is probably the most evangelistic person that I have ever met. And he would get mad at me because I can lead somebody to Christ. But I don't have the spiritual gift that oozed out of him. Like we would go through the drive-through at McDonald's and he'd be leading people to salvation in the intercom. I'd be like, I just wanted McNuggets. And like, you know, I couldn't, don't ever go anywhere with an evangelist if you're in a hurry. They will go to Walmart and help to 12 people about how to meet Jesus before they get to the bread aisle. Evangelists have that ability to, the spiritually gifted evangelist has that ability to talk about God in any circumstance. From the funeral home to the hospital. From the hospital to somebody's house. It doesn't matter. They're going to share Jesus everywhere they go. And they're going to make sure that they give an altar call at it. That's the spiritually gifted evangelist. Next. Exhortation. Exhortation is kind of funny. I have another friend. And she was definitely an exhortation person. Like, you could not, sometimes I just want to complain, okay? Like, I've been single for a long time. I'm in charge of people at work. I got kids at home. And sometimes I just want to tell people that, somebody about it. And I could not tell my exhorter friend about it because she would hear my friend, and those spiritually gifted people immediately want to help you find a solution to whatever the problem was. Sometimes I didn't want a solution. I just want to be heard. But somebody that's going to exhort you is going to say, okay, I see your problem. Let's move past it. Let's find out what can we do to help God, that God can help you in this situation. They have the ability to call forth the best in others. So I was going to whine, but they're going to say, listen, that's not really benefiting you. And they're going to take you on. You've had those people? They've exhorted you right out of wanting to whine. Next, faith. Okay, so I'm going to tell you something. I was going to save it to later, but I feel like we need a little brain break. So there's an assessment in this book that I'm teaching from that talks about these spiritual gifts. And I took this assessment. You answer 200 questions, add the numbers up, and the highest number is like what you're strong in. I am really strong in faith. I have the ability to see that light in the end of the tunnel for most of the time, most things. I don't mind guiding people out of the darkness. I have that. But I'm really low in healing. So although I have faith, you probably don't want me to pray for you for healing. God can do it. I have faith that God can do it. And he can anoint me on days that I'm not feeling it. But I'm really high in faith. But I don't know. The healing part was really, that was my lowest score. I was like, I mean, like embarrassingly low. I was like, oh no. I was like crazy. All right. Those faith people, they take you places. They don't leave you there. Those faith people help you see things that you didn't see. And it's not just that they're pointing out the obvious. These are, most of the time, those faith, spiritually gifted faith people are going to point out things that are enlightenments from God. God gave them that information. All right, next. Giving. Giving is, this one's funny, because like once you are spiritually gifted to give, it's like the lady with the meal barrel, it never ends, or the oil jug that never stops flowing. Givers will always give. If you've been around Diana 5 minutes, you've probably seen her giving spirit. And the funny thing is, the more she gives, the more she gets to give. I get it. It is a spiritual gift that Diana has, and that we have several in this church. It's an extraordinary need to be a giver, and I use Diana again for this one. My house burnt, and when my house burnt, like, all my clothes went up with it. Like, I literally left the house in flames in my pajamas, wearing flip-flops in the dead of winter, sleeting. And just so happened, I come to church this first Sunday, and Diana hadn't known that the house was going to burn, but she had clothes waiting for me because she's a giver, and she had found something that fit me, and it was going to look good on me, and she had, God had that spiritual gift in her. And it was here. It was the strangest thing. Now, I was very happy because I wore that one black skirt for many months with lots of shirts because that was it. Listen, kids' clothes come fast, but I was definitely glad to find some spiritual givers in that season of my life. Giving aid. Now, that's somebody who doesn't necessarily give money or stuff. They are a little more practical. Giving aid is somebody who sees you broke down on the side of the road and they feel spiritually led to stop and will tell you about Jesus while they're changing your tire. The spiritually gifted giving aid people, they lead people in giving to others. I always think about like groups like Red Cross. Those are spiritually gifted aid givers. They don't just collect your money or your stuff. They actually do something with it. Those spiritually gifted people have resources and can come up with things in places that only God could have made those connections. It's a godly thing. Next, healing. See, here we are. Don't ask me for this one. It's my lowest number. Healing is to function as an instrument of God's healing grace in the lives of others. Now, I poke fun at myself all the time, and the reality is I have done that. I have prayed for people. I have felt the move of God. I have had people say that they were healed. I honestly walked away from the three ladies that have told me that while I prayed for them that they had healing, I walked away and said, okay, because I didn't feel it. But God can use anybody in any of these gifts at any time. But the spiritually gifted healing person, that's somebody who is going to always show up at the hospital and pray for you. They're always going to find a time to pray for you. They're always going to look to extend healing in your situation for your body, your mind, your soul. They're going to provide that opportunity every time you meet that person. We're doing good. Helps. A gift that gives a practical, this gift gives practical help to others so that other ministries can continue to go out in a wider situation. Sister, you did this perfectly at VBS. You followed Diana around and done 999 things that she come up with you to do. And every time you done something that she come up with, she went to do something else. A spiritually gifted helper will make your life extremely better if you're pointing things to Christ. Now, if Diana was just doing that to make herself better or her office better or whatever, it wouldn't have worked. But it worked because while she was doing that, other people were continuing ministry. So you take a smaller thing that was absorbing her brain power and allowed her brain and ministry to move on to something else. That is spiritually gifted. Spiritually gifted miracle people, this goes beyond natural law. So we often talk about medical miracles, natural medicine of this world didn't work, but all of a sudden people are healed. That is the spiritually gifted miracle people. These acts relate to this gift to a healing or an exorcism. It's funny because nobody in church ever talks about exorcism anymore. So now pastor's going to be gone and he's going to hear me say that I've been talking about exorcism while he's been gone. He never knows what he's going to get. But those are miracles. And it's funny because some of the exorcisms from the old part of the Bible often related to mental health. It's a miracle either way. There was nothing in the world that could fix it, but God sent a spiritually gifted person in miracles, and suddenly their life changed. All right, moving on. Prophecy. This is the one that occurred across all four sets of scriptures. Prophecy is the ability to present God's word with clarity and power. Foretelling and prediction was not the primary goal. Now, that is something that we often in the church world think about when we're talking about prophecy. Well, some of the televangelists often emphasize that, but that's not the main goal. The main goal is always about what? God. The main goal of prophecy is about declaring and foretelling. So I'm foretelling you that God is coming back one day. I'm foretelling you that if you don't get it right, you're not going to go to heaven with us. So that is that prophecy, if it's not pointing to the things of God, if it's not in Scripture, if it's not emphasizing the things that God has already put out, then it is not a true prophet. Now listen, there have been people who have had a claim with a microphone and a TV screen and have said things that happened that were not real prophets. It is our job as seasoned Christians in this crazy world that we live in to discern and figure out the prophets. Prophecy is needed in this day. Just like when Paul put it in all four sections here, he was emphasizing it. It was brought up. Now the words that Paul penned were where? From God. They were pointing to God. They were strengthening the Christians. But if it's not, it's our job to call it out. Spiritually gifted prophets are always pointing toward God. Next. Teaching. The understanding and communicating the Christian faith. I hope that y'all can see this one in me because it was one of my high ones. This is making the word of God truthful to people, helping you apply it to your life. The results of this gift always end in Christians who are stronger. So if I'm just teaching and you're not getting closer to God, then I need to reevaluate what I'm doing. If I'm teaching or a spiritually gifted person is teaching and it's not drawing you closer to God, then one of you has a problem and we need to figure out which. Spiritually gifted teachers never leave you in ignorance. They always point you to the knowledge and wisdom of God. Speaking in tongues. Praises God either in another language not yet learned or in an unknown utterance. This specific style of prayer is always a prayer between you and God. I have had people get in my face and speak tongues at me. It was not of God. And I took it because I was young and didn't know better. But if somebody is not encouraging you and focused toward God, now I'm not talking about I leaned over you and God encouraged me to pray to him in tongues. I'm talking about if somebody's beating you up and telling you you can't go to heaven unless you speak in tongues, then that's a different story. That's not what I'm talking about. A spiritually gifted person in tongues is always paying attention to the temperature around them. Listen, if I go to Kroger and I start shouting in tongues down the bean aisle, somebody gonna wonder about me. Now, God told me to do that. At some point, I'm probably going to stop and start preaching. But if you're just hearing somebody do it out of repetition, that's not the spiritually gifted. Listen, I can tell you how to meet God in a whole lot of ways. But I'm really particular about this one for a reason. Because I did not have the temperament to be able to focus on God, to get to the level where I could speak in tongues in a group. I couldn't do it when somebody wanted to pat me on the back and pray. I couldn't focus when somebody was drawing my attention and showing me that they could speak in tongues. You know those people? Those that smack you on the back, speaking in tongues around you? Those are not necessarily spiritually gifted. The spiritually gifted people will always give you grace and birth and let you find that on your own. I found God, y'all aren't going to be surprised about this, in a unique way, while praying in the bathroom by myself. It was quiet. I was an Eastern student. It was concrete. So when I did find tongues, it echoed. But it was late at night and I could focus. A spiritually gifted person who spoke in tongues stopped speaking in tongues one night and said to me, "You can do this because you want God to do something for you." So that spiritually gifted person knew that they weren't helping me by speaking in tongues and gave me opportunity. Not everything that speaks in tongues is spiritually gifted. All right, moving on. Serving. Oh, we got lots of y'all around here. These are the task-oriented ministries. These are the people that can take a material or a good and turn it into something. The people who built the backdrop, those were serving. The people who serve you food or bake you cupcakes, or the people who bring you something when you're sick. This serving, spiritually gifted server will usually free up somebody else to do something else because they come in with a spiritual gift that maybe somebody didn't even see it coming. Next. Shepherding. This is our pastor in a nutshell. Giving pastoral leadership, feeding, guiding, nurturing, and great sensitivity to the sacrificial concern. Many of you have gotten texts or calls or a kind word. This spiritually gifted shepherd knows how to make you feel better. They know how to take your concern to Jesus and pray on your behalf. Next, spiritually gifted people who have the word of knowledge. These are also scary people. They know things. They know things that were not common or out in public knowledge. They know things that hasn't been told to other people. These spiritually gifted people, when they have that word of knowledge, the information has come from God because it couldn't come from anybody else. You know, if you've never had anybody with a word of knowledge for your life, I pray that they do soon because it's a buckle your seatbelt kind of moment. And, you know, sometimes it's somebody you know something they shouldn't know. Sometimes it's a stranger. But those spiritually gifted people have shifted my life before. And I think this is the last one. The people who have the spiritual gift of the word of wisdom, they have a great grasp of the divine insight. They have the ability to see your situation in a way that other people don't see it. It could be a fact, a situation, a context to a situation. I had a situation where I was relieved from my job. I was not invited back to play at Jackson County one time. And I... But listen, they trained me. They, you know, I was ready to go drive a bus, and I went to pick up my bus, and they told me I no longer had a job. And I really was having a moment about that. Like, you know, that was my future. I was driving out of my driveway. Driving was my thing. And I really had a moment. Like, it shifted me. I was trying not to be bitter. I was trying to find my focus. I no longer had a plan for how to feed my children, because that was the money coming in to feed my children. So, like, it really rocked my world, and that happened on a Thursday. And on a Sunday, I sat down with somebody who had a word of wisdom. And they seen my situation in a way that I could not have seen it at that moment. And listen, I was dumbfounded. It was like being hit in the head with a skillet. I just, you know, you ever hit your head, or you raise up and you hit the cabinet head and you no longer can focus? Well, that I felt like that's what life had done to me. I just couldn't focus. And this person that sat across from me, he and his wife, he just laid it out like plain. And like, he thought I was crazy because I couldn't see it. And I thought he was crazy because I was like, how could I miss it? And I literally walked out of a job on Thursday, came to church on Sunday, and had a new job on Monday. And that's how God, listen, and I moved into a job that I immediately had a $4 raise, doing the same thing. Like, I was doing the same thing. I drove an extra 30 minutes, and I was in much better place. I had much better benefits. And I could not have seen that happening. But see, when I was focused on that one puzzle piece, that word of wisdom person, they shared a bigger piece of the puzzle where God was working on the big picture, and I was only looking at one part. So those spiritually gifted people who have a word of wisdom see the world differently than everybody else. What are your spiritual gifts? Now listen, I've rattled off a whole lot. There was 20 of them. What do you see as something that you feel strong in? Or something that you, like my healing, maybe I need to pray differently about that one. What are those in your life? Anybody want to speak to it?
Helps in serving, I think. Yeah,
I could see those. Yeah, I could see those. Anybody else want to speak to it? Tom pretends like he doesn't ever see me when I'm talking. What? Was I talking to Tom? Knowing that the spiritual gifts are there is one of the first things. See, I laugh about healing being low on it. Listen, I don't doubt that God can heal. I don't doubt that God used me to touch that lady and she walked away feeling differently. But it's just not my strong suit. It was not my highest. It was not where I'm comfortable. And I only got comfortable after I started praying and seeking God. Now, listen, I tell y'all all the time, I'm scared of you. You're adults. I like kids a lot better. And it's nothing against you all, but that's where my spiritual giftings were stronger. See, when you all don't know that at 6:30, I was in the hallway praying through. I love y'all, and I want to change you and bring you closer to God. But I have to focus when I'm not in my strongest parts differently than when I'm with kids, and that's my natural parts. So what is it that you think that you would like to pray for God to do differently with your spiritual gifts? We ain't gonna last here a whole lot longer. We're gonna be early. I must have took y'all through there speedily. I was afraid that we wouldn't have time with 20 different points. But the reality is, I don't want you to walk away tonight knowing that you have something and you're not using it. If you have a spiritual gift and you haven't found a way and you want to use it in this church, you can talk to me or Pastor or Dinah. We will find a place for you. If you have a spiritual gifting that you feel like you need some prayer with, to find your strength with, teaching didn't come naturally to me. It wasn't something that I went out to do, but with practice and prayer, I hope I change your focus and point you toward God. If we use our spiritual gifts in this church, in our church, in our faith family, then we become stronger together. And when we become stronger together and we have a pointed goal, like pastor is our pastor, he points us toward goals to do, be it missions or an activity in the community or how we can pray for our neighbors, those things become more effective when we're all using our gifts. Now listen, I cannot stand up and play the piano for Tom. Nope. I don't even play chopsticks. So I can't do that, but I can do some administration and put Tom in charge of that. I can do some administration and I can appoint people to do different things to accomplish the big goal. Listen, I love to plan things. One of the funniest things that people ask me all the time, well, when you're planning things, what's your big goal? And I said, my big goal is always, how do I get God in it? If we're having a dinner, I'm always looking to see who's sitting with who and who's talking about God. If we're having a dinner, I always want to see you all bring your neighbor or bring your friend or bring your cousin or bring your, I don't know, don't bring your dog. We mess up, pastor. Don't bring your dog. But like bringing somebody with you, because in those conversations, we get to know each other, we strengthen each other, and we enable each other to be better. I think it was Dana and Randy hadn't been going here long when we had potluck with the pastor, and that was kind of the thing that sealed the deal with them to stay, because somebody sat and talked with them. Isn't it amazing how the little things, but when we take our spiritual gifts, it's the little things that turn big eternities around. I recently was at the hospital to visit my friend, and I talked to you about her and how God's worked in her life, and she'd had several strokes. Well, just to be honest, I was walking down the hallway kind of bum-fuzzled one day, and I rounded the corner, and I found one of our Berea Church of God kids working as a nurse. And you know, it's full circle when you see those kids that you taught and you ministered to. And it was funny because she turned around and she gave me a word from God. And I said, here I am to see somebody who's not much older than her that's had six strokes and was dying at the time. And here's somebody else that God had anointed and appointed all those years ago that was in that right place at that right time to pray for her. It was so encouraging to see those spiritual gifts work. Listen, I'm not going to hold us, but I do definitely want to take just a minute and finish out with why all this is important. It's this little page right here. I don't think there's a slide. I think I'm at the end of my slides. Identifying your spiritual gifts and using them helps us to determine God's will for our vocations and the things we do in life. Identification and use of our spiritual gifts mobilizes the entire church for the big mission. Not the little ones, the big ones. Identifying and utilizing our spiritual gifts assist us in setting priorities for study, growth, ministry. Identifying and using our gifts gives each Christian a sense of dignity and of self-worth. Every Christian is important. Every Christian has a job. There's no second class around here. Identifying your spiritual gifts and utilizing them enables you to receive the gift of ministries of others. This is a hard one. Like, I can give all day long, but the receiving end is harder for me. But when I identify the things that I give back, then I can see how others can give to me, and it becomes a cycle of strength and release, problems and solutions. Things that we give, I have excess of this, you need that. You know, it enables us when we're dependent on each other and giving to each other. Identification and use of our spiritual gifts fosters unity among the fellow Christians and believers. That is then something that we take to the community. It's crazy, y'all. But y'all are talented. Y'all are gifted. You all carry God in and out of here all the time. I am a product of a church. I didn't come from a Christian family. If somebody didn't use their spiritual gifts, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be standing here today. I would have went down the path of drugs and alcohol, and like many in my family did. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those who used their spiritual gifts. Don't hold those so tight in your life that others go to hell because you didn't use them.